Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest non-catheterist segment. Today, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We are going to be taking a question that we got by way of the Catholic Gentleman podcast. I was on the podcast, I was a guest on the podcast, and we received a question. And so I'm going to read that question, and then we will tackle it on the other side. Stick around. All right. So I'm going to start off by reading the question. The question is from Ricardo, and it reads, "Hello, I am a Catholic. I have seen that Latin America in general has no standards for new churches. On the other hand, I have seen Mormon facilities, and they stand out from the rest as having a clear set of standards that they follow. I would love your thoughts on how Latin America could upgrade standards for their Catholic churches. Ricardo." So thank you, Ricardo, for the question. I think it's a great question. It's one that I've been thinking about for quite a while, actually. And in fact, it's been a pretty busy couple of weeks, and so I've had some time to wrestle with it in between different things. So first of all, I think that this question applies more generally to all churches, all Catholic churches. There are guidelines that are provided for churches, kind of general philosophical things to follow. Like here in the United States, we have a couple of different documents that are referenced on a regular basis. Probably the most prominent one being the one that the USCCB put out called Built of Living Stones. But even that document has pretty wide guidelines for what can be done. So I imagine what Ricardo's talking about is something a little bit more specific. And he mentioned the Mormon Church. So I am not completely familiar because I have not designed a Mormon church myself, but I have heard this before about Mormon temples, that one of their requirements, for example, is that the building is constructed in such a way and designed in such a way that it will last for 1,000 years. Kind of interesting. If you think about it, there is something, I think, kind of wholesome about that, that you will build something that is going to last for 1,000 years. It means that it has integrity, it is built well, and it has a lasting quality, which from a Catholic perspective is something that we would absolutely agree with. You know, churches should be built with a sense of permanence, just like God our Father has a sense of permanence in the sense that he has been around forever, you know, eternity. And so that the nature of the church itself has to reflect the values, permanence of our faith. So I have definitely heard about the Mormon church and their standards. And so I think there is something that we can kind of think about when we are thinking about how to structure Catholic churches. But Latin America specifically was part of the question. So I am originally from Mexico, grew up in Mexico. I've spent quite a bit of time there, although I've been living here 20 years. But I used to visit all the time. In fact, the painting that you see behind me here is a watercolor that my wife did of Guanajuato, which is the capital city of the state of Guanajuato in Mexico, where our family is from. And so that town specifically has tons of beautiful colonial architecture. That is what it's known for. It's this kind of old, it's not a medieval city because it was built afterwards, but the planning of it, because it was in the mountains, means that yes, the streets are winding. There are a lot of surprises around the corner, all these beautiful churches all over the place. So clearly Latin America has a tradition, a very long tradition of gorgeous, beautiful churches. And so I think part of what Ricardo is asking is, what has happened? You know, some of the newer churches that you see don't have the same sense of beauty or sense of relationship to the street or to the person. I've experienced this myself. So in the little town in Guanajuato that my family is from, it's called Uriangato. It's a small town on the southern part of the state of Guanajuato. There are some older churches. There's kind of the original church in the center of town, which is a beautiful Roman Baroque style church. But then there are some more contemporary churches kind of on the outskirts as the city grew, which are most of the time very contemporary. In fact, there is one church, which I won't name, but that I think what they were going for is to copy the Sydney Opera House and create a new church structure. But unfortunately, it was not very successful. And so part of the question that I think Ricardo's asking is, what happened? Like, how did we go from these gorgeous, beautiful Baroque churches to new buildings just falling short in both beauty, in both expressing the faith, and then in its relationship to the city? And I think that's where I want to start, as far as beginning to think about how do we reform this, or how do we kind of wrap our heads around either structures or guidelines that we could use to begin to design churches. So first and foremost, just mentioning the fact that architecture is an expression of the culture around it. I mean, that is just a given. So as society has changed, there has been a desire to shed some of the national heritage that countries from around the world have had. Now, why might this be? So after the World Wars, there was obviously a reaction to nationalism. As you can imagine, obviously having nationalism or nationalistic movements become part of the issue, part of the problem that creates this world war. In the post-war era, there was this desire to kind of return to, or not return, but to open the doors to an internationalism, you know, that if we just have friendship among all the countries, and if we just have a common bond across the entire globe, maybe we are going to be able to avoid future conflict. That's kind of the big picture idea that we're looking for. And then what you begin to see is what is commonly known as the international style. This was an attempt to create an architecture style that was for everyone, that could span the globe, as the name would suggest. And why did they do this? They did this again because there was this idea that if we could just begin to erode borders, erode nationalism, we would maybe have a lasting peace. So it was an altruistic approach that they, or an altruistic goal that they were after. But what ended up happening, as we now are able to see with hindsight, is we are left with cities that are mundane, cities that don't have any history, don't really have much meaning, and that are hard to distinguish from one another. One of my favorite things to do is, when you are driving in a new city, is try to find buildings or markers that would tell you that you're in a different place. Because especially here in Texas, if you go to Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, and you're kind of in the suburbs, it all looks the same. Maybe the landscape's a little different. That is what the international style, the modernist program gave us as far as cities are concerned. So churches were no exception. And part of the church architecture got caught up in that same movement of a new architecture. And as a result, a lot of the beautiful, unique characteristics of churches throughout the Catholic world were dropped in an attempt to be relevant, in an attempt to look to the future. Again, in hindsight, we see that there was so much that we lost in that project, and ultimately, it didn't achieve what we wanted. All we were left with was boring, mundane buildings and cities that, frankly, nobody wants. Okay, so that's where we are now, and that's how we got here. So how do we begin to turn the tide? Well, I think we begin to turn the tide by first changing the culture, by changing how we build cities, by beginning to think about how we structure towns. You know, one question that came up, or one topic that came up during the Catholic Gentleman podcast was, is there a Catholic way to build? Gaudí was convinced there was a Catholic way to build not only churches, but whole cities. And if you think about this, if you think about this and you look at, I mean, look at all of Europe, look at a lot of Latin America, how were the cities planned? And where did that plan come from? Arguably, you could look at the monastery as the building block of Western civilization, the original cell that was replicated to create what we call Western civilization. So what is the structure of a monastery? The structure of a monastery is first and foremost the church in the center, followed by typically a courtyard, followed by typically the cells of the monastery where all the monks sleep that form kind of a fortification or a protection against the church, but yet also signify how our lives revolve and are centered in the Eucharist, in the liturgy. And then, of course, you had some common spaces, libraries, refectories, and other common spaces that would also be creating the cloister, the monastery. That model is the beginning of civilization. Beyond the walls of the monastery, of course, you had the farms, and you had the place where, and a lot of times laity would come and begin to form towns around the monasteries, which then turned into bigger cities, which then turned, you know, you would have the university, and before you know it, you would have an entire developed city, but all stemming from the foundation and the stability that the monastery provided at the time. Well, I would argue that that model is what built the West. It built the cities in the Middle Ages, but ultimately, if you look right down to the town that I'm from in Mexico, how is it structured? There's a town center with a plaza. There's a church prominent and in the center. There are the government buildings that surround that central plaza with colonnades reminiscent of monasteries. And then the city radiates out from there. So when we begin to think about city planning and orienting buildings on a landscape, all of those decisions matter. Why do they matter? Because they make cities more livable, more enjoyable, more walkable. So I would argue that how do we begin to change the churches? We begin by changing how we even think about cities. We have to think about them in terms of our humanity, in terms of a Catholic way of building. We have a certain understanding of the human person because we are made in the image and likeness of God. As a result, our buildings from the city hall to the church have to reflect the dignity of people. And then, of course, when you come to the church, it reflects much more than that. It reflects the entire, you know, reality of the Eucharist, the reality of the liturgy as the sacrifice of the Son to the Father in the supreme act of worship that is the Mass. So changing how we think about cities will naturally begin to ask more of every single building that is a part of the whole. So I don't want to lose sight of the importance of that. And I want to just emphasize that it's not just changing churches, but it's changing how we build in general. Because Catholicism is not just a set of ideas or a club that you belong to. It's a civilization, it's a way of life, it's a whole ecosystem. And unless the ecosystem of Catholicism is healthy, the buildings it produces will not be healthy either. So that kind of, I wanted to paint that big picture there. Now let's focus a little bit more on the actual church part of it. So the churches, are there things that we can think about? Absolutely. As it relates to Latin America, what I would say is that in some ways, in the building of new churches, we abandoned the identity and the tradition that was handed on to us. And so in an attempt to, again, be relevant, in an attempt to be cosmopolitan or new, we abandoned the richness and the treasures that are all over Latin America. There's so many beautiful churches, so many beautiful cathedrals, that I really think the guidelines are all around us in Latin America in a way that, for example, we don't have in the United States. Let's look to our beautiful churches in the town squares. Let's look to the beautiful churches in the outskirts. I mean, even in the small rural towns, there are beautiful churches. Let's rediscover why those beautiful little buildings have stood the test of time. Let's take a moment and study them. Let's look at how they're structured. Let's look at where the altars were. Let's look at why they were long and narrow, and why they had sculpture and painting, and why they were so ornate on the outside and the inside, why there were towers. Let's look at the models that have been given to us, especially with, like I said, with the richness all around us. And let's begin to use that as the guide for future churches. That does not mean that we can't innovate. It doesn't mean that you can't, you know, do something new or evolve or change. But it does mean that it has to be rooted and grounded in who we are. The sooner we can rediscover our identity as Catholics, but also our national identities. You know, what made each country unique? Even if you look at Latin America, you know, Mexican churches have a certain style that other churches won't. Churches in Peru or churches in, you know, churches in Guatemala may have a slightly different expression, you know, having to do with climate, having to do with local conditions. That's what we need to really rediscover and lean into if we are going to find our way again in the building and designing of new churches. So to close out, I want to kind of draw your attention to somebody that I feel like is doing exactly what I am talking about. And that is a firm called Estudio Urbano. And they are based out of Guatemala City. And they have created, I think they have, you know, several designs in the work, but in Guatemala City specifically, a planned urban community that uses many of the points that I made earlier, making cities walkable again, making cities livable again, and establishing these guidelines that then every time a new building is added, has to respond to what is established in the urban plan. They're doing a great job. And in fact, even though this is a secular development, you know, and it's what you would expect, stores, housing, you know, grocery stores, apartments, you know, your typical mix of commercial development. They planned a church to be part of it. Why? Because as humans, as people, we need God. We need the religion, the true religion of our faith to organize our life and therefore to organize our cities. It's amazing. So I would encourage you to look into them, Estudio Urbano. I'm going to post a link to a lecture that they gave that explains a lot of the things that they're doing in the description. So check them out. There is a lot of hope, you know, in Latin America and here in the States of new signs of talented architects who are rethinking and rediscovering what is beautiful and what is great about the heritage of our Latin American past, but also just the heritage of our Catholic faith. See you next time.